Jaya Radha Madhava Gopi Janna Balada Jirvarir Hari Gopi Janna Balada Jirvarir Hari Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana Yashoda Nandana Vraja Janarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira
Paramahamsa Bhagavad Gita Charasa Harasa Shri Shri Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai Bandracharya Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to some of the devotees All glories to Shri Guru and Guranga Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Sthaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Ki Namane Namaste Sarasvade Gauravana Vichkarane Shri Vishesha Shunyavadi Paskatari Sitarani Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 39. From the chapter Narada's instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, we're on the next to the last verse. I'll just read it. Imam sva nigamam brahman avetya madunishtitam adan me gyanamaishvaryan svasmin bhavam chakeshava. Word for word. Imam, thus, sva nigamam, confidential knowledge of the Vedas in respect to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Brahman, O Brahman, Vyasadeva, Avetya, knowing it well, Mut, by me, Anushtitam, executed, Adat, bestowed upon me, may me, Jnanam, transcendental knowledge, Aishvaryam, opulence, Svasmin, personal, Bhavam, intimate affection and love, Cha and Keshava, Lord Krishna. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. O Brahman, thus by the Supreme Lord Krishna, I was endowed first with transcendental knowledge of the Lord as inculcated in the confidential parts of the Vedas, then with the spiritual opulences, and then with his intimate loving service. Report. Communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. It is completely perfect method for approaching the Lord. By such pure contact with the Lord, without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10, the devotee can rise above the material plane to understand the inner meaning of the Vedic literatures, including the Lord's existence in the transcendental realm. The Lord reveals his identity gradually to one who has unflinching faith both in the spiritual master and the Lord. After this, the devotee is endowed with mystic opulences, which are 8 in number. And above all, the devotee is accepted in the confidential entourage of the Lord and is entrusted with specific service of the Lord through the agency of the spiritual master. A pure devotee is more interested in serving the Lord than in showing an exhibition of the mystic powers dormant in him. Sri Narada has explained all these from his personal experience, and one can obtain all the facilities which Sri Narada obtained by perfecting the chanting process of the sound representation of the Lord. There is no bar for chanting this transcendental sound by anyone, provided it is received through Narada's representative, coming down by the chain of the civic succession or the parampara system. Om Jnana Tarandisha Gnanjana Salakaya Chakshur Mintamina Tasma Sri Gurave Namaha Pancha Kalpa Tirvishcha Kripa Sinagavacha Patitano Pavane Bhiva Vaishnava Namo Namaha. So very, very nice verse and wonderful purport by Srila Prabhupada, as usual. This is the next to the last verse in this chapter, and it's really a basic summary of Narada's path to transcendence. In the last few verses, he talked about the power of spiritual sound, the glorification of Krishna, and he specifically gave instructions to chant the Chaturvyuha mantra of Vasudeva, Prajumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan, and how this would bring spiritual realization. So this idea of chanting sound, the sound vibration of Lord's holy name to bring about realization is a very important point in today's verse. And also we see the process of spiritual sound, how this led systematically to Narada's enlightenment. Narada specifically talks about three stages in the process of enlightenment here. And the verse is Jnanam Aishvaryam Svasmin Bhavan. Means first, he was imbued with transcendental knowledge. Then he developed mystic powers. And then the intimate loving service of the Lord was given to him. I found this very interesting. Of course, it reminds us of the different stages of God realization, which are given earlier in the Bhagavatam, of Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. And jnana, corresponding with Brahman realization, mystic powers with Paramatma realization, and of course, infinite loving service with Bhagavan realization. And all of these are accomplished by the process of sound, which means hearing and chanting. Hearing and chanting about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. First of all, when Narada is talking about jnana, or the process of knowledge, it's really beyond jnana, or just knowledge of the difference between spirit and matter, or understanding that there is a spiritual nature of transcendence beyond the mundane. Here he says this includes all knowledge of Krishna in the spiritual world. So when he's talking about knowledge was given to him, he means really knowledge of the personal form of Krishna, Krishna's relationships, Krishna's varieties of energies, Krishna's abode, his pastimes. Srila Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna reveals himself and his existence in the transcendental realm. So in other words, it isn't just some vague idea of spirituality or vague idea of the difference between spirit and matter, but knowledge of Krishna, Krishna personally in his spiritual realm. So the devotee must first understand Krishna and his relationship to him. So this is what Narada Muni first understood. This could be likened to the Sambandha stage, where one first understands one's relationship. Sambandha means one's connection with Krishna. That one is connected with Krishna, who Krishna is, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this was, and along with that becomes not just knowledge of Krishna, but we know Krishna is never alone. Krishna encompasses everything. There's nothing that is separate or different from Krishna. So we say knowledge of Krishna, we really mean knowledge of everything material and spiritual. So after knowledge was first given, then Narada says he was imbued with mystic opulences. Now this is interesting, and talking about Narada had all mystic opulences, and of course the Bhagavatam and other places talk about that there are eight basic mystic opulences. There are different cities, like being able to become smaller than the smallest, larger than largest, be able to prop the city, being able to acquire anything, to travel to other planets. All of these different things the mystic yogi can do. Now, this was actually formerly common. This seems like something fantastic to us, But actually, in it's described, as said by Srila Prabhupada in the fifth canto in a purport, he says, during the first yuga, Satya Yuga, people were very pious. Everyone practiced the mystic yoga system for spiritual understanding and realization of God. So in other words, everyone could do this in Satya Yuga. Very pious people through meditation, the process of meditation in Satya Yuga, could, you know, obviously understand the super soul, and also they were incidentally able to perform all of these different mystic feats. Now, it's important to understand that when this was talked about as a process of spiritual realization, it was not just a practice for personal power or aggrandizement or having all of these wonderful virtues or qualities, but it was meant to achieve understanding of God. And ultimately, the process of mystic yoga was meant to achieve the super soul, understanding Krishna within the heart. In fact, there's a chapter in the Srimad Bhagavatam called Lord in the Heart about the process. There's a bona fide process of meditating upon the super soul within the heart to achieve that level of God realization. In the second canto. So this is a bona fide method of self-realization, although it is not for Kali Yuga. It's very difficult in this age to have that level of meditation, that level of concentration, the level of sense control, to be able to do such things, and therefore it is not for Kali Yuga. However, it is described how these mystic powers can be obtained. In fact, in the 11th canto and the 15th chapter, there's a whole description of how one can gain each one of the mystic powers through meditation on the Lord in the heart. But interestingly, it describes everything in relationship to Krishna. There's no sense of achieving these mystic powers separately from Krishna or without one's relationship with God. And so it's described when there in the 11th canto, 15th chapter, when one enters into the smallest, but you meditate on the smallest, meditate on the super soul within every atom. So in other words, even the mystic yogi is always connected with Krishna in the real sense, if one is actually doing this properly. So the devotee, of course, of Krishna, doesn't need to meditate separately on the super soul. We don't need to do that meditation. We chant the Lord's holy name. And the devotee will be able to realize super soul naturally from the process of bhakti yoga. This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 3, chapter 29, verse 20, verse and purport. It says, as the chariot of the air carries an aroma from its source and immediately catches the sense of smell, similarly, when one engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, one can catch the Supreme Soul who is equally present everywhere. So in other words, one will automatically understand the Super Soul, understand how Krishna is everywhere by engaging in Bhakti Yoga. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, as a breeze carrying a pleasant fragrance from a garden of flowers at once captures the organ of smell, so one's consciousness, saturated with devotion, can at once capture the transcendental existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who in his Paramatma feature is present everywhere, even in the heart of every living being. The Super Soul, however, is equally present everywhere. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that a person saturated with devotional service in full Krishna consciousness can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead either as Super Soul or as the Supreme Person. So it is not that we neglect or we, there's no criticism of one understanding Super Soul. It's a natural thing to understand Krishna everywhere, to understand Krishna within the heart of every living entity, within every atom, between every atom. And this is accomplished by the devotee through the process of bhakti, not through a separate meditation on Super Soul. So after these stages, the stage of jnana, Brahman realization, and realizing Krishna, Sambandha, his connection with Krishna, after going through the stage of having all mystic opulences, it says, then finally Narada was given personal relationship and service to the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada says, the devotee is accepted in the confidential entourage of the Lord and is entrusted with specific service of the Lord through the agency of the spiritual master. This is from today's purport. I think this was significant because Prabhupada wants to emphasize that confidential service is not necessarily defined as being in Vrindavan Leela or being in Krishna's pastimes. He says it's service to the Lord through the spiritual master. So when we engage in the Sankirtan movement under Śrīla Prabhupāda, under the spiritual master, we are accepted into the confidential service of the Lord. So in other words, our devotional service, our practice, our chanting, Harinam, or distributing books, whatever it is, when we are engaged in that service to the Lord, we are engaged in confidential service. We become the confidential servitors of Śrīla Prabhupāda and the Lord Chaitanya Mahāprabhu, and of course, Lord Krishna. Now, we may not fully realize this elevated position. It's not like, oh, I'm a very confidential servant now. No, I may not even understand very well, very clearly, very deeply what is happening. But what actually is happening is a very deep process, a very special process, and a very confidential process. In fact, I think it was just the last class I gave, we talked about confidential knowledge that was in the verse. You know, yes, it's this confidential knowledge, and confidential knowledge is devotional service. This is really what the Bhagavad Gita concludes, and it's what the Srimad Bhagavatam and Srila Prabhupada is telling us here. That what is really the ultimate understanding is that confidential service, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, bhakti. When one understands bhakti, when one enters into bhakti and is performing the process of bhakti, bhakti yoga devotional service, one is at the highest stage. And that full realization of that position comes over time. There is some practice. Now, for Narada Muni, a great soul like that, it came very quickly. His process was a very quick process to full realization. Although he had to perform some austerity, he did. He performed some great austerity, but because in that, you know, different age and his power and his everything else, he was able to come to a very high stage. But still, there was some practice. There was some austerity. So the first realization here from this, the beginning from this verse in purport, is that realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes through sound vibration, the process of hearing and chanting the names of God. And Narada, in fact, specifically gave a mantra, the Chaturvyuha, the four names of God, they chant. It's a process of realization. And I think the other concurrent or concomitant realization here is that this process of chanting the names of God and realization comes about in stages. It's a process. It's not something that one, you know, gets a magic touch and then it happens. Of course, it could happen. Anything can happen by the mercy of the Lord, in the mercy of the spiritual master. You know, one could become immediately enlightened. However, for most of us, it's a process. And that process, of course, is sadhana bhakti. So the process of sadhana bhakti, as we progress from basically knowing very little to beginning the process, taking up bhakti yoga to the point of final realization, such as Narada Muni, is described in several different ways. And I was thinking about this morning as I was preparing for class, how we have a lot of different stages, you know, in our process that are given in different places. There's a lot of different ways of looking at the process of bhakti through progression of different stages. How, okay, we say, well, it doesn't come all at once, but what does that mean? What does it look like? What does the process of bhakti? This is Abhideya, the process of Krishna consciousness, and how does it come about? So I was thinking about some of the different ways that we see stages of realization that has been given to us by Krishna and the Acharyas and Sri Prabhupada. First of all, of course, we talked about the three stages of God realization, Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan, different aspects of God, progressively higher that we can understand. We also mentioned the three stages of bhakti of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. As one first develops one's attachment and knowledge of Krishna, then one begins to perform the devotional practices, Abhideya. And finally, Prayojana, the final goal, when one becomes perfect in one's bhakti. Now, as far as that process of bhakti, Abhideya, that's described many in different ways, but one of the primary ways that we've been given and told is to understand the stages of bhakti is through the eight stages of the process of bhakti from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. This is given in chapter, I guess it's way, but I can't ever remember. Anyway, it's 1:4:15-16 from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Prabhupada quotes this, and Prabhupada translates it in the purport to Bhagavad Gita 4:10. So it's very nice. So Prabhupada has the whole thing in Bhagavad Gita 4:10 purport. I don't know if I want to read all the Sanskrit now. I'll give it a try. Adaushvata tata sadhu saigata bhajana priya tato narta nipita shat tato nishtaya ruchas tata ka ata shaktis tato bhavas tata prema vayodshiti sadhakana ayam prema parubhave bhave prema. I'm sorry I mangled that a little bit because my it all got scrambled here on my computer, so I didn't really have the proper writing of it, so I had to fake it a little bit there. Okay, Srila Prabhupada's translation, that's important. In the beginning, adao, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of, that's of course faith. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated, sadhu sangha. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instructions, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service, bhajana priya. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, nartha nivritti, attains steadiness in self-realization, nishta, acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead, that's ruchi. And personal Godhead. This taste leads to further develop to attachment to Krishna consciousness. Then Ashakti, next, right? Ashakti, which is matured in Bhava, the preliminary stage of transcendental love of Godhead, and then real love for God, called Prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. So, and Prabhupada says, by the slow process of devotional service under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all material attachment, from the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality and the frustrations that result in void philosophy. Then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the process of devotional service in the different stages that have been given to us by Rupa Goswami and Srila Prabhupada has given us. So another way of looking at it, I guess a little more succinctly, is that we have the process of sadhana bhakti, which has two stages, vaidhi bhakti and raganuga bhakti, which is a devotional service and practice, and which is practice, spontaneous practice of devotional service. And then, of course, after that, one is in the pure stage. What's the Sanskrit of that, you know? After sadhana bhakti, what's the pure stage? What?
Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, prema.
So just bhava and prema, yeah. So, okay, it's just, yeah, just sadhana bhava prema. That's what you're given. Okay, now, here's some more stages. I just found this interesting. The Nectar Devotion talks about six results from bhakti. And these are also somewhat in order. These also progress along certain stages. The results of bhakti are first immediate relief of distress. Bhakti has the ability to destroy suffering, klesha. Then it awards auspiciousness, disregard for liberation. It's very rare to attain. 5, gives transcendental pleasure, and 6, ability to attract Krishna. Now, it's described by the Acharyas that these are also in stages. The first and second qualities are at the stage of sadhana. The second stage, third and fourth qualities are stage of bhava, and the fifth and sixth qualities are stage of prema. So those are the stages, sadhana, bhava, prema, as was mentioned. So even at the sadhana stage, the first two are there for us. Relief of distress and all auspiciousness. So that's pretty good. Even at the very beginning, our life becomes auspicious and our distress, our suffering is beginning to end. And even if we feel we may still have some suffering, we probably have no idea how much suffering over lifetimes and lifetimes of karma we had, and we're getting a minimal amount. And ultimately, the real suffering has ended. The real suffering of the living entity is, well, two things. One, not knowing one's purpose in life, who one is, what is relationship with God. It's sort of, as Prabhupada would say, a voidist, lack of knowledge of the absolute truth, feeling like one does not understand why I'm here, what is my purpose, which can be very depressing for people, very frustrating for people. That suffering has ended because we know our purpose. We know who God is. We know our relationship with God. And the other thing is our future suffering has ended. Our karma is ending. If we follow the instructions of the spiritual master, we are not incurring any further karma. And that's all being dissipated by the process. Prabhupada said it's been burned up in the process of bhakti, all that past karma. And of course, it takes some time. We know that. Like the winding down of the fan, you pull the plug, no more karma is being created, but it takes a little while for the fan to finally stop. So that is happening stage by stage, and when you think about it, we have nothing but wonderful things to look forward to. For most of us, I suppose you could say we're in the Bhajana Kriya and Arthanavritti stage, where we're trying to perform our sadhana, we're trying to clear our offenses, our anartas, from the past. So what's next? Once we become steady, stage anishta, it's all wonderful. Attachment, ruchi, pleasure, bhava, prema. In other words, everything ahead of us is simply wonderful spiritual enjoyment with Krishna. It's kind of like where we're at right. The past is really bad. Where we're at now can be a struggle, but the future is only hopeful in Krishna consciousness. There's actually, there's so many different ways. I think Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur particularly like different stages and like to describe these. Because even within the stages of Anartanavritti, in the Madhurya Kundalini, Vishnu says there's five different stages from partial to complete. And they correspond to the different stages of bhakti from Vajra Kriya to Prema. So our anartas, they are being eliminated stage by stage as we advance in Krishna consciousness. It's also described that our faith increases in different ways as we progress through the different stages of Krishna consciousness. And also, even Krishna reveals himself by degrees of our devotion. Now, this is, of course, a little bit beyond my particular realization, but in the Madhurya Kundalini, Vishwanatha Thakur describes the gradual process of perceiving Krishna. Now, this the full realization does not happen until the bhava stage, when one actually begins to see Krishna in terms of literally seeing Krishna. But he describes how the different senses first experience Krishna. One experiences Krishna through hearing, and through smelling, and through, and through seeing Krishna, like that. That's another wonderful thing to look forward to as we progress in Krishna consciousness, that Krishna will actually manifest himself little by little. So many different stages are given. And these help us to understand, I think, what we're going through. They help us to understand a process. Because you want to know where the goal is. If you're involved in, we often describe spiritual life as a path or a process or a road, or, many analogies are like this, because we're on a path and there's an end. There's a direction and there's an end goal. So we want to know what the end goal is and we want to know what the direction is. We want to know where we are. Like if you were on a, not so much a short trip, but on a very long trip, let's say you're driving from here to New York, and after about, you're maybe late in the first day or late, say, you might want to know where you are. Am I in, I don't know where I am. Am I in Virginia? Am I in North Carolina? Yeah, who cares? Just keep driving. We kind of want to know where we are and where we're headed and if we're good, where we might be getting there. So I think our acharyas, knowing this as human nature, have given us different ways that we can sort of mark our path and understand the process. And it helps us to progress to the next stage. It helps us to move forward. Now, because this verse in Purport particularly talks about the powers and the glory of the holy name and how important that is in our chanting, we also have processes and stages of chanting. And those are very, very important to us. One of those systems is the stage of chanting, where we know there's the Nam Aparad, the Nam Basa, and the Shudanam, stages of chanting the holy name. There's the offensive stage, and Prabhupada mentions that in today's purport. When he talks about the importance of chanting, he says, avoiding the 10 offenses. You see, he mentions that today. So that's the offensive stage, when we're committing the 10 offenses to the holy name. And that's, of course, not a stage we want to stay on. That's a very beginning stage. Maybe someone just hears the holy name and begins chanting, but they haven't really changed anything in their life, or, you know, they're still carrying on pretty much in the same materialistic way. But after one chants a while, and especially when one gets association with devotees, and one learns the process of sadhana and instruction of the spiritual master, one will enter into that clearing stage, the Nambas or the Abhasa Rupa stage. And that is very important. That's when we're trying to avoid offenses. The purification is beginning. We're becoming a little bit free from some of our offenses and some of our past anartas. The anartana vritti stage is beginning to happen. You know, and so that's very important. We want to at least be on that non-bhasa stage where we're clearing our offenses, clearing the anartas, and moving forward. And finally, one comes to the shudanam, or pure stage of chanting. Now, the fortunate thing, or I guess the hopeful thing to devotees, is one doesn't have to be simply at the Shudanam stage, this very lofty stage of pure devotional service, to gain benefit from chanting. In fact, Haridas Thakur famously glorified the stage of Namabhasa in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Anchalila, third chapter, verse 63 says, "Thus, worship of the Lord, whose name is like the sun, for just as a slight appearance of the sun dissipates the darkness of night, so a slight appearance of the holy name of Krishna can drive away all the darkness of ignorance that arises in the heart due to greatly sinful activities performed in previous lives. Even a faint light from the holy name of the Lord can eradicate all the reactions of sinful life." So Haridas Thakur, who was, of course, the Namacharya, he was the expert, you could say, the exemplar of the holy name, whose own chanting, of course, was, you know, amazing, chanting 300,000 names a day, which is, what, 192 rounds a day? Simple, right? I was in a yoga retreat once with Satchinanda Swami. And Satchinanda Swami is quite, you know, he's quite a japa chanter, and he's, for him, he does this, you know, it's like with great ease, it seems like. And he was saying once, says, yes, Haridas Thakur chanted, you know, 300,000. He says, you know, 16 rounds is easy. 64 rounds, not even really so difficult. You know, 64 rounds, 108 rounds in a day, one can do that. But 192, he says, that is very difficult, even to do in one day, what to speak of every day of one's life. So, I'm sorry for the, I hope the accent wasn't. Anyway, we all know Satchinanda Swami is very charming, the way he speaks. Okay. Is. Srila Prabhupada's purport to that verse. He says that the example of Bhaskar, the sun, is most appropriate. The Abhasa feature of bhakti is compared to twilight, and the accumulation of one's sinful activities is compared to fog. Since fog does not spread throughout the sky, the sun need no more than merely manifest its first rays, and the fog immediately disappears. We all experience that. There's a lot of times, certain times a year, it's always foggy in the morning, and as soon as the sun comes up, fog goes away. Similarly, if one has even a slight relationship with devotional service, all of the fog of one's sinful life is immediately vanquished. So even the beginning stage of devotional service and the beginning stage of chanting bring great benefit to all of us living entities. But we know that Krishna consciousness is a process, and to be fully realized will take some time, and that requires patience. Requires patience on the part of the sadhaka as one performs one's sadhana. But we know the benefit is there even from the beginning, and the results will come step by step, stage by stage. So returning to our concept today of the importance of chanting. The chanting is the most important through all the stages of bhakti. Chanting is always there. In fact, it is not the devotee chants to go through a certain, to get to a certain stage and he gives up chanting. Devotee's always chanting. What are the gopis doing? They're chanting the glories of Krishna, you know, right? The pure devotees of the Lord are always chanting, always glorifying the Lord, always hearing about the Lord. This is what we do. This is our constitutional internal position. It's not, we say the chanting is the particular process for Kali Yuga, but it's not that it's only for Kali Yuga and then it's, you know, not there. No. Glorifying, chanting God's name, Krishna's names, is the eternal process, the eternal business of the living entity. So, this is mentioned in the Bhakti Samrita Sindhu. Now, of course, I was just looking through. There's actually so many verses glorifying the chanting holy name. They're endless. You could have a book filled with quotes from all of our scriptures on the glories of chanting holy name. And it's throughout the literatures, over and over and over again, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, in so many different places. But just as a summary, Bhakti Samrita Sindhu describes the 64 items of devotional service. Then, of course, the most five important Rupa Goswami gives, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, chanting, deity worship, association with devotees, and living in the holy dham, such as Nirama Reddy. And then, this is the, is this Rupa Goswami or Vishwanath purport? Let me see what it is. No, this is Vishwanath. Vishwanath Chakravarti's first purport to that verse, the 1-2-230. He says, among the angas of bhakti, which is ascertained as king? This verse answers, chanting the name of the Lord is the principal method. Among all the angas, the chief ones are hearing, chanting, and remembering. Among these three, chanting is the chief. Among the different types of chanting, chanting the name of the Lord is supreme. So, we have it. Final word. Chanting is the supreme process. It'll bring us through all the stages of Krishna consciousness and to reach the final goal. All glories to you, Prabhupada. Thank you very much. Thank you for my nice audience of two devotees here. And of course, the many, many on the internet. Are there any questions? Before I dump my
Krishna,
face
now is the time for questions.
As we leave the temple.
You can type it out in the chat room.
I'm sorry?
You can text me at 352-221-0041. There's a one comment question. Interesting, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to the 10 offenses as a material conceptions.
Say it again?
In the purport.
Yeah.
This producer is interesting. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada refers to the 10 offenses as material conceptions.
Oh, yes, yes. I saw that. I noticed that.
About.
Yeah, he said, without offense of material conceptions, numbering 10. That's interesting to call it the 10 mythical material conceptions. Yeah, I have no further insight on that. I found that interesting as well, that is the way that Rob described them, because when you think about it, it's material consciousness or material thinking. All of these 10 offenses, if we were in spiritual consciousness rather than material consciousness, we wouldn't be committing offenses. Yeah. I found this whole purport, the wording of it, to be really nice. I mean, you know, I don't mean that others aren't. I found this just specifically, some wonderful wording here. Like the first sentence, communion with the Lord by transmission of the transcendental sound is non-different from the whole spirit Lord Sri Krishna. I mean, it's like these are, I had to think about that read it a couple, three times. This whole thing is so deep. Yeah. And then here, it's interesting saying, calling the 10 offenses material conceptions. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yes.
Each stage of spiritual advancement, you get a higher taste, right? Like, you know,
yeah.
You become more and more purified, so
mm-hmm.
Hopefully you get a higher taste.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised at any, you know, even like Bharat, King Bharat, he fell down from such a high stage.
Stage of Bhava.
Yeah?
He was at the stage of Bhava. Yeah.
So if you have such a high taste, it seems like if you difficult to fall down. I mean, because you're thinking of Krishna, the whole process has become, we're thinking of Krishna 100% of the time.
Yeah.
So in Bhava, you must be thinking, how could you say?
Well, I was thought, I may be wrong, Gaurangwinda may be able to tell me. I thought at one point, somewhere in the purport of the story, King Bharata, you know, in the deer, that it's mentioned really that this was a pastime, that King Bharata was on a very, very high stage of devotional service, and this was more or less a pastime, you know, to show us, to demonstrate how one becomes attached to something material, even in a very advanced stage that one could fall down. Now, I'm not sure about that, but I thought...
Natural devotion, there's a verse. The definition of sadhak bhakta. Utpanna rataya samman, narivita upagata. That Krishna saksat ito yoga sa sadhava parikriti. The definition of sadhak. Sadhak goes all the way to bhava.
Mm-hmm.
After bhava, Krishna accepts him. Then prema. That from that level, Prabhupada said, doesn't come. But
so,
up to this, there is a risk is there.
Okay. So even if this, so up the stage of bhava, going nectar devotion, there is the possibility to fall down.
Yes.
Not very likely, but there is, it is possible. In a prema, of course, there'd be no possibility.
Vilamo Thakur,
yeah.
Great example.
Yeah.
Of course, he took up from wherever he left off.
Yes.
All right, and then of course we have the wonderful passage of Jatabara, where he preaches to Maharaj Mahugana, you know, so now, yeah, I mean, anybody who has three lifetimes are described in the Srimad Bhagavatam is a very special person. So, you know, he's certainly no ordinary person, you know, that, you know, his whole history of three lifetimes are there in several chapters of the Srimad Bhagavatam.
But my question is, how do you know this is not your last, I mean, third life?
How do we know it's not his last life?
Last one.
Three
lives.
I think it's mentioned.
Is it in the middle of the last one?
Maybe it's a fourth one? I don't know. Well, if he did, it would be Krishna's arrangement and it would be something very special. Like maybe he wanted to take birth in Lord Chaitanya's Leela or something. Okay, you know?
Yesterday in class, Matiji was saying that. Actually, I don't remember if it was for somebody else. They say it takes like, you know, 50, 60 years, Prabhupada said someplace, to actually, get some taste to, you know, pass the stage of offensive.
Hmm.
So somebody was saying in a conversation with Prabhupada on a morning walk, I don't know which class, I'm hearing class over here, but they were saying that, you know, this chanting, you know, we have to do it for so long, I mean, yeah, like you said, most of us don't have that good faith that we immediately get like this. But if you chant regularly and continuously, that it takes something like 50 or 60 years to actually just pass this offensive.
Prabhupada said it?
Did you hear it in class recently when somebody was saying, and I was thinking, God, I'm 60 years old, I'm getting, you know, I must be having some taste, or it should
be
there.
I'm closing in on 50 years chanting, maybe there's hope.
Yeah, okay, well, that's what I was thinking, of course.
Or maybe I'm not doing well.
But actually, if you're 60 years old, I mean, I didn't come until I was in my 20s, so I still have another 20
there
years.
There you go, yeah.
Anyway,
that's interesting. I don't remember Prabhupada saying that 50 or 60 years of chanting, but that would be interesting to find that, if Prabhupada made that statement.
What did you say?
I don't know that Prabhupada, I don't remember hearing Prabhupada say that, but if he did, it'd be interesting to find that, to see
yeah,
that.
Yeah, something I agree.
Is the question? Which one?
The bottom one.
Oh, can you please speak more, here's a question from our audience. Can you please speak more your realization of the chanting that goes on in the spiritual world? We know of Ananta Sesha who never reaches the end of the glories of Krishna, but what of the chanting of gopis or Mother Yashoda? Certainly they do not chant as we do. Chant as we do. Well, they're probably not chanting, you know, 16 rounds of mantra. But no. In fact, Prabhupada even mentioned that once about Arjuna. That's the one thing I do remember Prabhupada said. Prabhupada says Arjuna didn't chant rounds like we're doing, you know, because he was an intimate personal associate, an eternal associate, and he's just always, he's thinking of Krishna, you know, 100% of the time. But the question here was chanting of Mother Yashoda, but they're chanting the glories of Krishna. In fact, the songs, you know, we have the Gopi Gita, we have their songs, their glorification. It's described how they would sing about Krishna's pastimes, right? They'd be together and they'd be remembering Krishna and they would actually sing about Krishna's pastimes. You know, Krishna killing this demon or Krishna doing this. So I think that was the chanting from what I understand from Krishna book and Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
That's always going on. Mother Yashoda is always thinking of Krishna, talking about Krishna, probably singing songs about Krishna, you know. So, no, it's not exactly, the question is it exactly like we do? No, they're not probably chanting rounds on beads. But, so in that sense, I guess you could say that's, you know, that's our particular process. You know, so the chanting on beads is our particular process in Kali Yuga, given to us from Lord Chaitanya through the Acharyas. But the concept, I guess, of glorifying the Lord, of chanting the names of God, that's an eternal process. That's there all time. Okay?
I thought one time we were discussing this many years back, and Nectar of Devotion actually has a one, I forgot exactly what, 24 or 25, after Sukkaras, somebody can trace it there. There's a verse says, Kana Adat Sharita Dina. It's Kana, even for a moment, they don't forget. Sana Adar Sunita Dina Sadasaha Bihari. They always travel with Krishna, the coward boys. They talk about coward boys. Nityananda Guna Sarve Nitya Siddha Mukundama. They are called Nitya Siddha because they are always merging with the happiness of pleasing Krishna, serving Krishna.
Mm.
And so then it breaks down, Rupa Goswami Pad, that when they come, I don't know, I'm trying to squeeze it like. The whole story is given how Krishna comes back from the pastoral field and each mother embrace, holding, they cry, they love him so much, and Jogamaya creates a scenery that they see Mother Yashoda is waiting for, so they let him go.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a very emotional, devotional emotion, satisfaction, nourishment. Then they pick up their own child and they talk about what Krishna did, and they go like this, and then they take prasadam and they go to sleep. In the sleep, they also enter into another dream forest with Krishna.
Mm.
So they are always with Krishna.
Mm.
Their sleep is not like our sleep of ignorance.
Mm.
That was very nicely explained. So over there it says that, because I always wonder, like when Krishna was painting, sometimes you see this cows. Krishna is standing, but why they close their eyes? It looks like so beautiful, why you not look? That sloka has a one key word, it says Shkana Adarshanita, that sometimes it is overwhelming Krishna's beauty that they have to close their eye to meditate on that, and they can stare in their heart with that form of Krishna for thousands of years. And they don't move. Even though Krishna is there, but they are not even aware because they are seeing another form of Krishna. So this way everybody is satisfied. All the every moment.
God, I have to hurry up and go do spiritual work.
Yeah, the spiritual world is so amazing. You know, we can't even imagine. We can't even imagine everything.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll bless you too, Prabhupada.
Just one thing.
I said, after hearing Pran Govinda description of the spiritual world, I just can't wait to go.
Yeah.
So many things you don't understand with our limited consciousness here.
Thank you. It was very nice to us.